Coco here on WICT Pittsburgh. Today we got special guest Formosa in the studio, and we got my partner Nettles leading off all of the ads and exciting things. So if you're interested, stay tuned for a great show.
WRCT is supported by Rita's Italian Ice. Rita's offers a variety of frozen treats, including their Italian Ice, made fresh daily with real fruit. Available in over 95 flavors, Rita's has several locations throughout the city of Pittsburgh, including a stand at 3712 Fifth Avenue near the University of Pittsburgh campus. For more information, visit their website at ritasice.com. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. If you are interested, you can stop by the Pittsburgh Banjo Club's regular rehearsal every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Founded in 1988, the Pittsburgh Banjo Club is an all-volunteer band and organization that uses banjos, trumpets, tubas, and bass to perform popular music from the 1920s and 30s. The Pittsburgh Banjo Club rehearses at the Allegheny Elks Lodge, number 339, at 400 Cedar Ave in the north side. Food and refreshments are available. If you'd like to make a reservation, they can be made by Tuesday at 5 p.m. for each Wednesday event. Call 412-321-1834 for reservations. If you or your organization would like an event included in the WRCT radio calendar, please send the details at least 2 weeks in advance to radio-calendar@wrct.org. Here's your music calendar for the weekend. Friday the 15th at Stage AE is Yo Gabba Gabba at 4:30 p.m. At Spirit at 6 is Skull Fest 15, featuring Negative Approach, Crosses, Iron Lung, Short Leash, Commitment, Scronto, True Body, Nervosas, Symphony Flowers, Extradition, and Veneno. At 7 p.m. at the Roboto Project is Ananori and Dr. Girlfriend with Ghost Year and Mutate Often. 8 p.m. at the Funhouse at Mr. Smalls is Uno with Windsor. At the Pittsburgh Winery, Bill Henry Band, and Thunderbird is August Williams. Austin Williams. Saturday the 16th at the Pittsburgh Winery is Mike Marks at 5 p.m. 6 p.m. at Spirit Hall is Skullfest 15 featuring Destroy, Drop Dead, Glope, Destruct, Submachine, and Grassy Knoll. 8 p.m. at the Funhouse at Mr. Smalls is A Dangerous Summer with Rose Colored World. And at the Government Center, Options, Soft Surface, Ian, and Missing. Sunday the 17th at 6 p.m. at Spirit is more of the Skullfest 15 featuring Stormcrow, Languid, Zyclone, Death Gasp, Matar, Bat, Heaven's Gate, Vicious Blade, Shooting Pain, and Ancient Torture. At 8 p.m. at the Roboto Project is Royal Dog, A Loner, Language of the Heart. If you are representative of a Pittsburgh-related musician, band, or venue and would like us to list your events in our music calendar, please send the email with all the details, including date, time, place, and performers, to music-calendar@wrct.org. This calendar is updated each week on Wednesday afternoon.
Don't.
Music lovers, you may be interested in these other shows from WRCT. 8 Miles High, and When You Touch Down, you'll find that it's stranger than known. Tune in to 8 Miles High with Nick and Andy every Tuesday at 9 p.m. From East Panama to the world, Brazilian music is arguably the number one export product from Brazil. From East Panama to the world presents Brazilian music and information to the listeners of WRCT every Friday at 7 p.m. Tune in and enjoy listening to an adventurous mix of familiar standards and lesser-known gems from the Brazilian songbook in a broad range of musical styles. When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear, vaping is not safe for youth. Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs and dangerous things like metals into your body. And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s, with appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media, many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not. So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you. A message from the Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, www.samhsa.gov. Your eyes are windows to your health. Schedule an eye exam to see if you're one of the 11 million Americans who has a common vision problem and that can be easily corrected. Remember, healthy eyes make for a healthier you. For more information, visit www.nei.nih.gov/healthy eyes. A message from the National Eye Institute at the National Institutes of Health and WRCT Pittsburgh.
you're listening to WICT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM on the dial or online at WICT.org. I'm Smoko, and this is Go Fetch with me, Smoko. That was just Formosa in the studio with us today. And that's about it for us. Up next is Courts in Session with America's favorite DJ attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. So if you're interested, stay tuned right to this station because we got a special show coming up. But that's it for us in the studio today. I'm Smoko. This is Go Fetch. And you're listening to WICT Pittsburgh.
This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, we talk about the very important development in the USA, the explosive growth of the Democratic Socialists of America, and the convention they recently had in Chicago.
Historian Paul LeBlanc is our guest. He attended the convention, and he reports on what he saw and heard.
We rebroadcast a segment of the interview that I, Michael Smith, and Michael Ratner did with the great attorney Mel Wolfe, who died several years ago at age 96.
Attorney Mel Wolfe successfully argued 5 cases before the U.S. Supreme Court and then served for 15 years as the legal director of the ACLU.
Stay with us.
I'm New York City attorney and author Michael Stephen Smith.
And I'm Jim Lafferty, a decades-long political activist and once the national director of the National Lawyers Guild. In a remarkable come-from-behind victory in the Democratic primary over disgraced former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, the Democratic Socialist candidate Zoran Mandani is likely to become the next mayor of New York City in November's election. This comes a decade after the Democratic Socialist of America, the DSA, exploded onto the stage of U.S. politics. The organization is full of vibrant campaigns, discussions, and experimentation. For example, how can Democratic Socialists build a working-class political alternative powerful enough to defeat Trump's authoritarian regime? How should it relate to the pro-capitalist Democratic Party? What strategy can revive the labor movement? And what is its vision of democratic socialism, and how does it get there? To answer those questions and others, we speak today with DSA member Paul LeBlanc, who recently attended DSA's biannual convention in Chicago. Mr. LeBlanc is a retired professor of history from La Roche University in Pittsburgh, and he has been active in movements for human rights and economic justice for over 6 decades now. Currently, Mr. LeBlanc is a member of Democratic Socialists of America, of Solidarity, and of the Tempest Collective. He has written and edited many books, including the book A Short History of the U.S. Working Class, and many of Mr. LeBlanc's recent articles are online in Cumanus and in Lynx, the International Journal of Socialist Renewal. Mr. LeBlanc is also a contributor to A User's Guide to the DSA. Well, Paul LeBlanc, a warm welcome to Law and Disorder Radio.
Thank you so much, Jim. I'm delighted to be here. And for starters, I want to emphasize something. I've been a formal member, a paper member of DSA for several years, but I've been seriously active in my local DSA chapter for no more than a year. And this was my first convention, which I attended as an observer, not a delegate. I should say I decided to attend the convention in order to learn more about the actual lay of the land in DSA. And although I learned a lot, I'm still learning, and there's much that I don't know. And that's especially the case because DSA is incredibly dynamic. It's in the middle of a growth spurt from 50,000 to 80,000 and still growing. And it's been dramatically impacted and radicalized by the crises and catastrophes that we're all living through. And it isn't the same moderate socialist organization that Michael Harrington helped to organize back in 1982. It's not even the same organization it was 5 years ago. It's been tilting fairly leftward at the moment. So it's very fluid. It's going through changes, very much a work in progress. Anyway, I'll do the best I can.
That sounds fine, Paul. We appreciate you saying that, though. Paul, the organization Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA, did hold its convention in August 8th, 9th, and 10th in Chicago. remind our audience, who may not be familiar with it, what the DSA is. You've already talked about the number of members, how many of them are perhaps really active members, how many attended the convention, and what is the demographic makeup of the membership. Give us some of that background before we go any deeper.
Sure. Well, it's an organization that's very broadly committed to socialism. There may be differences on how to understand what socialism will mean or how to get there. There are differences within the organization. Actually, the membership has been fluctuating over the past several years. So a few years ago, it was up to 90,000, then it declined to about 50,000. But now, as I said before, it's grown to more than 80,000. Some of the things that have caused that, well, one is Trump's second term victory. Another is Zoran Mamdani's win in the Democratic Party's New York City mayoral primary. And then, of course, there's the genocide in Palestine, which is another key factor in the thinking of all of the people who are at the convention and in the organization. Some predict that the membership is going to be rising to 100,000 before too long. But it's important to understand what this 100,000 represents. It's a paper membership, not an active membership. And I want to use Pittsburgh, where I live, as an illustration of what is the larger reality. In Pittsburgh, the paper membership has fluctuated around 700. Now, of these, between 400 and 500 have been members in good standing, which means they've paid dues. They've paid up. Of these, roughly 10 or 15% could be understood to be active. That is, they attend the monthly membership meetings, which are hybrid. They're largely in person, but with an online attendance as well. Also, these folks are involved in one or another working group of the chapter. I've begun attending the monthly meetings in person, and when I'm there, I generally see between 50 and 80 participants at each meeting. This translates into a national total of, I would say, 8,000 to 10,000 active DSA members, which is still a substantial force. It's bigger than any other group on the left, the U.S. left at the present time. Now, then I can go, based on what I saw at the convention in Chicago, and there were about 1,500 people in attendance, almost all of whom were members of DSA, over 1,200 of whom were elected delegates. The age range was overwhelmingly on the young side, perhaps a few teenagers, I don't know, but mostly folks in their 20s and 30s, and some in their 40s. Those in their 50s and 60s were relatively fewer in number, and then there was only a sprinkling of people like me in their 70s and 80s. While a majority of those at the convention could be identified as white, there were significant numbers of Hispanic, African, South Asian, East Asian, and Middle Eastern folks of that extraction. So it wasn't all white, but it was